Thank you for tuning in for the next 30 minutes to Victory Gospel Lighthouse Church. We are located at 907 Howard Street in Jennings, Louisiana. We would like to invite you to be our guest Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for our regular service and Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. for Bible study. For more information, please contact us at P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. Now stay tuned for an exciting and anointed message from Pastor Austin Spell.
Well, if you have your Bibles, I know what I can do.
That's right.
Amen. Go with us to the book of 2 Timothy this morning. We'll share some scripture with you right there in a minute. I want to apologize to those who may be listening by Facebook, but our singing has encountered some obstacles. Some of our machinery is not working right, so when we get that together, our singing will be back on. So you just hang in there with us. We're going to preach the Word of God and pray that it'll touch your life this morning. From the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 3, verse number 7. The scripture says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning, but never able. That's something to do with the heart and the mind and what you receive from the Lord, because they're constantly learning, but they don't come to the knowledge of the truth. And the truth, of course, we know is Jesus Christ. He is the truth. Now go with me to another verse in chapter 4, which is next door to chapter 3. Hello. Chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but rather after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Not talking about the teachers, but the people having itching ears to hear a teacher that tells them what they want to hear and not the truth. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Now that's a sad account of people who have turned away from the Lord. They're still religious, and they still go to church, but they want to hear something different. They want to hear another gospel, because the true gospel pierces their heart, pierces their conscience. The closer you get to the light, the more of yourself you can see. And when that light gets brighter and brighter, if you're a sinner this morning, sometimes you see some things about yourself that you don't want to see. And you don't want to admit that you see them. So the time that the apostle spoke of in his writings is now here with us. The scripture I just read, how much they want lust for what the world has to offer them. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. And the prophecies in the Word of God concerning the closing days of grace are being fulfilled right before our eyes. You have to admit that if you've got any common sense at all, that what you see on TV, what you see going on in the world, what you see going on in our educational system, what our kids are learning or being forced to learn, what they're doing with children, elementary school children. Now, nonetheless, how great is that error and that lie in the higher forms of education? All you have to do is look around. And these verses come to life. They will not endure sound doctrine. So many facts, so many things that are evident to us. So many facts that when they were partakers of the same things, speaking of those who were religious but still lost, and when that time comes to us today in the closing days of grace, well, we see what's taking place here in America and around the world. The global society has opened the floodgate of sin. Technology has fueled the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It has fueled it to the point that America, along with the world, but we're going to talk about our place today, America has left its morality behind. The America that we knew, and some of you just a few years ago, that haven't been around as long as some of us, you still see the changes. But if you go back 40 and 50 years ago, I'm not going back any further than that, you can acknowledge the change that has taken place in this country. You can think about when you were young and when you were in school and how the school system was built to educate you, to take your place in society. But now it is educating our people, our children, to be dumbed down. Because you see, if you want a socialist government to take place, you have to keep the people dumb. You have to have a system where the people have no voice. Praise the Lord. America's morals have been flushed down the toilet, you might say. And they've been replaced with the evil darkness of Satan's kingdom. The Bible says they stumble around, they stumble along in darkness because they cannot see the truth. If you cannot see the truth, you cannot see the light. So that means you're stumbling around in spiritual darkness, trying to find something that's not there for you. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life has fueled the sin nature of mankind. You see, there has to be something that fuels that sin nature to keep it going. To keep the sinner still wanting sin. To keep the religious person still wanting religion. Not looking for Jesus. Not looking for Jesus. They are blind, the Bible says. The Word of God says that evil has blinded the eyes of sinners. But now we can not add to the word, but say what we see. It has blinded the eyes of the religious church. They cannot see. They cannot see their fate because they won't look for it. We could call it a willful blindness. You can witness to people who are religious, and many of them in their religion is all they want to hear. And you try to bring Christ into that witness, they don't want that. They are blinded willfully to the Word of God. I got a letter in the mail yesterday from one of them. Went through a whole system of what I have to do to join their religious group. Well, I know you may have the same file that I have, but file 13 finds a lot of these places. But as I read it, I felt sorry for the person that sent it. Because everything that was in that letter was in error. It was opposite of what God's word says. It was a plan of salvation by their rules. And it left out everything God said. Because their plan was for us to get together and become fine church members and make this world a better place for Jesus to come back. Jesus can't come back until we make the world better. Dingbat. That's the word I was looking for, because this was a female that wrote that letter. If it had been a man, I'd have called him Meathead. All the same, ignorant to the word of God. And if they had read and the Holy Spirit had led them and illuminated the word of God, they would know better. There's no way we can make this world good enough for Jesus to come. Jesus is going to come to this sinful world, and he is going to make it better. After his church is taken out and after everything through the tribulation is over, he's going to make it better. The Bible says a new heaven and a new earth, not made by man. Forget about how good you are, because you ain't no good. Excuse my English. We got teachers here. I got to straighten this up. You ain't no good. I can't help it. That's it. The Bible says when they called Jesus good, now this is Jesus, God incarnate, a God-man, standing before these people, and they called him a good person. And his response was, "Don't call me good." Because he was talking from the man. There's only one good, he said, that's my Father in heaven. So forget about your good works. If your works do not glorify God, your good works will get you nowhere. Willfully blindness. And they are protecting that which is religious, which, by the way, is itself. The door was open for the apostate church, and it has now taken root in America. And I say this, and people hear it, and I get questions. Well, what is or who is the apostate church? Well, the Bible makes it very clear. Apostate church is any church, any people, any denomination, any group, any gathering that does not preach Christ and him crucified. Because if you don't preach that, you have no gospel to preach. He is the central theme of the entire Bible. From Genesis, we see him to the cross. And from the cross, we see him through Revelation. And in the end, we see him with us, with him. He and he alone is the truth. Don't ever get involved with people that want to tell you how good you are. And you may be good at something. You may be good at doing your work. You may, and that's okay. That's the natural part of you, doing the good. And we should do good. The Bible says for us to do good. But not to base our salvation on the good works that we do. Those are done good works to help our neighbors, to help our friends, to keep society hopefully in line enough where Jesus can work his work in the hearts and lives of those who are lost today. Religion is protected. Christianity is not. Religion is protected by the apostate church, by the followers of false doctrine, and by the government. The government will let you be religious. But if you claim to be a Christian, they want to throw you into fire, crucify you. Because being religious, you can talk about God. And you can name any one of the of the gods that you want to. They don't care. There are many gods that people worship, sad to say. Little gods, non-existent gods, but they worship them anyway. And you can talk about God, but when you talk about Jesus, they know in their heart there's only one Jesus. There's only one that went to the cross. There's only one that rose from the dead. We'll be celebrating Easter before long. Resurrection Sunday. Huh? Well, you won't hear from the religious folks too much about his resurrection. They'll make some other stories about it. They'll boil 1,000 eggs and color them so we can have an Easter egg hunt. Then they're going to tell you these eggs came from bunnies. Yes. The bunnies laid all these colored eggs. My Lord. Religion is protected. Christianity is not. Listen to what is protected under the cloak of religion. False teaching of the religious apostate church is protected. They are protected. By their religious beliefs, they are protected even by the government. Because when something drastic happens or something great happens, you see religion working its best. You see the cathedrals. You see all the beautiful things that are made in religion. And the government protects it. False teaching of religious apostate churches are under the cloak of religion. Satanic church surfaces, which include nude worshipers and all the different things that they do in satanic worship. Devil worship, which is built upon the sacrifice of animals. We saw that a few years back. I don't know if it's still going on. There was a place on the Mermentau River where Satan worshipers gathered and sacrificed animals. People were locking their doors with their cats and their dogs inside because it was dangerous to leave them outside. They were actually making animal sacrifices. Cult worshipers, led by spirits which control many of the so-called good works done by different clubs. Deceiving and being deceived. Jesus said, "Beware lest any man deceive you." And then he goes on in the scriptures to say, those that deceive are leading others into deception. If you follow religious man, you're going to be led into deception. And thinking or even believing that you're saved and doing right. Jesus one day will look at a group of people that come before him in judgment, and he will tell them, even though they're there saying, "Well, we've done great works in your name, huh?" Well, those works were done to glorify man. They weren't done to glorify God because Jesus would not have rebuked them. No. They were done to glorify man, and Jesus said, I never knew you. How sad. Talking to a man a while back, he said he had heard a fellow preach about the storm that Jesus and his followers were in. You remember the story of Jesus in the ship when he was sound asleep and the storm came up and the people, and they were so afraid, they were gripped with fear while Jesus slept in peace. And the storm got so bad they woke Jesus up. And Jesus looked at them and said, "Oh, ye of little faith." Because he knew that they had come to him in fear, not faith. They were afraid for their life. And so they came to Jesus, and he woke up, and he spoke to the sea and the storm, and peace came over it. And this gentleman told me, he said, "Why would God create a storm like that?" He said, "I heard the preacher say that God created that storm to tempt the people in the boat." I said, "You've listened to a lie." And he looked at me like a calf looking at a new gate. And he said, "Well, what's the lie?" I said, "The lie is that God did not create the storm." He said, "Well, why? Who did?" I said, "Satan did. He's the power and the prince of this world. And he controls nature to the point where Jesus stops it. When Jesus speaks, then the storms are quiet." But you see, the reason Satan controls the storms and nature is because sin. He has been given that dominion over the earth, the world. But his dominion stops at the cross. The world is under a curse, the Bible says. Even the world moans and groans for a release from this curse of sin. And I said, "God did not create this storm." He said, "How do you know?" I said, "Because Jesus rebuked the storm." And if God had made the storm and Jesus rebuked the storm, he was rebuking his Father in heaven. No, Satan makes the storms in your life. God doesn't tempt you with storms. Those storms are created by Satan. They are allowed because man sins. And God made man with a will. And God's heart was in the will of man that man would choose to serve him. God could have made puppets if he wanted to. In fact, he created a beast, or what we call beast in the Bible. That's not our comprehension of beast. It's different from what God is. But he's got these beasts 24 hours a day, our hours and day, all day, all night, all year, praising him around the throne. He could have made us that way. But he gave us a free will. And the sin nature of man chose to disobey God. And set this life of sin that everyone has to live now in, not in their heart, but in the world, set it in motion. God has put limitations on what Satan can do. We know that. We read it. We see it. Times are going bad for some of the people in the Bible. And the word says, "But God." But God intervened. What did he do? He stopped the work of Satan. He intervened for you and for me. He stopped the work of Satan. The sin in our lives was stopped because Jesus hung on an old rugged cross and gave us freedom. And we still have that freedom, that will to do or not to do. And the Lord wants us to do His will. Deceived, being deceived. But we see all this in the Scripture, and we can bring all of that to where we are now. Christians' teaching on the churches reveals what those churches had done and going through, and also brings it in a parallel to our life. Yeah, we do some things that God likes. And then we turn around and do some things that He does not like. Huh? So then we have to face the fact that we have failed in that particular situation. So what do we do then? We repent. We ask God to forgive us, and He does. And thank God He doesn't forgive us just once. Because we can sin a lot in one day. Sometimes not willfully sin, but sometimes that old sin nature rises up too quick. Huh? Somebody does something to you, and the first thing you know, you said something you didn't want to say. But you said it anyway, so now you got to repent. The other day we were driving down the interstate. I was following an 18-wheeler. I was just starting to pass him. They didn't have but maybe a car length between us. He was on one side, I was on the other. And I was close enough to start to pass it. And this idiot came by in one of these fancy sports cars, and he snuck right in between us. And I said to myself, "You're a Christian first." Because he almost caused wreck. Because I didn't expect it. If I'd have seen him, see, he was coming so fast, I didn't even see him. I would have slowed down and let him go. I'm not going to trade punches with an idiot like that with my life and my family's life. Let him go. Huh? He'll get his. Sooner or later. But you see, we have to be careful how we respond and react to things as a Christian. Because we want our light to shine in this time, in this day, it is for us. So this time in which we now live, see, this is a personal thing. It's defined by that which we see, that which we hear, and that which we know. That defines our life today. And many Christians today are turning a deaf ear to the truth. So if you don't hear the truth, and you don't know the truth, and you don't want the truth, then you're serving Satan. That's the way he works. Satan works that way. And many Christians today are turning that deaf ear. And in fact, I believe that they do not want to hear the truth. That's a rebellious spirit. They don't even want to hear the truth. And if you don't hear the truth, you'll never know the truth. See, they are drawn to the false preachers. They're drawn to the false doctrines by evil spirits.
Pastor Spell and the congregation of Victory Gospel Lighthouse wish to thank you for tuning into our broadcast and want you to join us at the same time next Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for more of God's Word here on HLE Radio. If you would like to partner with us by spreading the gospel, you can send your support to P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. If you would like to listen to more sermons, you can do so by going to hleradio.com and clicking on Online Sermons, Victory Gospel Lighthouse. We hope you will join us next week. God bless you and God bless America.
No, I'm not perfect, and I'll never be. Your sweet forgiveness, Lord, can rescue me. Here comes His grace again. There goes my fear. Here comes my Lord and friend.